CBSi in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Within hours, Guatemala, member of the Northern Triangle, votes for a new president. The outsider, who looks to be in a strong position, is named Arevalo, representing a new party, Semilla. He surprised everybody in the preliminaries to become the second place, and it's a runoff. Arevalo is linked in some fashion to old business in Guatemala, and I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the America's Column and editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal to explain Arevalo and Cicig and the risk to a family called the Bitcoffs. Mary, good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Yes, Bernardo Arevalo looks to be the favored candidate for the Sunday runoff. He may even win by a wide margin if the polls are correct, but polls have been very unreliable last time around, so I think everybody's just in a wait-and-see mode. The reason why the Arevalo candidacy is troubling for a Russian family that is still stuck in Guatemala after years of fighting the law there is that they were put in jail by a combination of very corrupt attorney general and a UN body that was called the Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala. The initials are CICIG. And this was a body that was in Guatemala for about 10 years when it first was brought there. It was going to stay for 2 years. It was supposed to help the Guatemalan justice system fight clandestine security groups, underground security groups that were wreaking havoc with law and order. But every 2 years, its mandate was renewed, and eventually a new commissioner from Colombia was brought to the country in around 2014, and he began to see that this body was all-powerful and could be used in a political way against enemies of the left. And that deteriorated into a highly politicized body that, as I say, was all-powerful, very corrupt, and very much linked to the same people who are supporting Bernardo Arevalo for president.
So we've linked all of this now, and Arevalo as president, would he have the authority to move again to put the Bitcoffs at risk? Because you suggest at some point that the Bitcoffs have been stalked by the Russian regime for years.
Well, the Bitcoff family left Guatemala because Putin was trying to extort them, and they fled. And at one point, they were looking for a place to land, and there was a law firm advertising that it would process papers for migrants legally. And so they paid the fee, and they were processed, and they went to Guatemala. They picked up their papers at the Guatemalan immigration building, so they thought that they were legal. And then the Russians, the guy working for Putin, followed them there, basically accused them of fraud and money laundering in Guatemalan court. It was not able to prove that, had no evidence to support it. The case got thrown out. But then that same Russian said, well, you ought to investigate them for migration violations. And that's where they ran into trouble, because their papers were, in fact, fraudulent. But the people who gave them the fraudulent papers, strangely enough, were never prosecuted by CICIG or by the attorney general. Only the Bitcoffs were accused of being part of the trafficking network, as opposed to being victims of the trafficking network, in which they were actually victims. But they were put in jail. They were denied due process. There were all kinds of violations against them. And why that happened was never really clear. There was a lot of suspicion about links between, illicit links with the Russians. But they are now out of jail. They're under house arrest, but they're still stuck in the legal system. And Mr. Arevalo, if he comes back, his followers have said that they want to reinstall something like CICIG. Now, I don't think that they're going to be able to bring the UN back so easily, but what they practiced during their time in power was this kind of, when I say they, I mean CICIG and the people who were supporting Sisig at a local level, was a kind of French Revolution where, you know, the authorities could show up to your, knock on your door, tell you you were under arrest, drag you off to prison, and leave you there for years. In a kind of terror against anybody who was on the right or who was in the business community. And that's the kind of thing that people are afraid of, because the people around Bernardo Arévalo have never asked for forgiveness for that, have never admitted the crimes that were committed then. And, you know, you can tell by their language that they kind of liked it. They kind of liked this kind of power that they could use against their enemies. So there's a real fear. I'm not saying that it will happen, but there's a real fear, and I think a legitimate fear, that it will somehow be replicated if the left in the form of Bernardo Arévalo gets back in power.
Arévalo represents the Semilla Party. Over these last weeks since the first round in June, Mary, I've seen news that Semilla Party might not exist. There's fraud underneath its registration. I believe the State Department protested investigation of Semilla's offices at some point, saying this is a disruption of democracy. Is Semilla cleared to participate in this election? What's the resolution of that investigation of fraud?
Well, you raise something that's really kind of comical, in the sense that Bernardo Arévalo's whole candidacy is based on beating corruption. He's going to wipe out corruption. And yet the party that he's running on has already been found to have used forgeries and the names of and identifications of dead people to register. So, you know, right out of the box, it's a party that's already been shown to be corrupt. The rule in Guatemala is that during the electoral period, these kinds of things cannot be challenged. So the attorney general has investigated it, as is her job, and she's presented the evidence, but nothing can be done right now because we're in the midst of an electoral period. Once the electoral period is over, then the country will have to decide whether a guy who ran with a party that is fraudulent ought to be elected. I mean, I think, you know, they would make the argument that Mr. Arévalo was not part of the fraud, it was underlings in the party, and that he was popularly elected, in which case his presidency would stand, but his party might be disqualified. I think all of those things are things that are up in the air right now. But I think it's pretty clear that the idea that this party is corruption-free is something that's very naive.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, watching the Guatemala election within hours. For the Wall Street Journal editorial page, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.